Hey, everybody.
Hey,
we're good friends. Ivan and David.
Or the bad friends, depending.
Well, yeah, maybe bad friends.
I was a little disappointed. I was typing into the YouTube search, and it does not actually come up.
Really?
But I think that's one of those things we you have to go, everyone has to like go and search for it like 200 times and then click on like, so that we can trick the algorithm into thinking it's like the premier podcast on the YouTubes.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, it knows it's a podcast because I get a little podcast tag beside the playlist and everything.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's because it did it on its own. I didn't ask it in the title.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps. Oh, this is exactly what that is.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Maybe
that's not actually how easy it is. It's some like gigantic computer prediction instead of just like scanning the title and the episode text.
Yeah. It did a million calculations and burned 300 kajoules of energy to figure it
yes.
out.
Yes. We had to, they're just shoveling cows directly into a furnace to get enough energy.
That's right. So we're here with episode 16, which is the hobby burnout episode, which anyone I think who spent a little bit of time in the hobby will have encountered to some degree or another.
Yes. And in different ways, I think, because I was thinking about it after you mentioned the topic idea. Just so you guys like understand the creative process that goes on, you may have read that podcasts hosts tend to like meticulously plan and script things. That's not really how we do things. We have upwards of like 7 hours to come up with it.
That's right. Yeah.
But I guess we'll just kind of throw those into it.
This one was percolating for me because there's a guy who runs a lot of local events for us. He's a big organizer. Mm-hmm. He's part of the Rust Punks. And last time I gamed with him, a couple weeks ago during a Jank and Flank, he's looking a bit pale, even for himself. His nickname is Spooky, and so you can imagine he's a bit ghostly. But
yeah.
I said, how's it going? He's like, oh, I'm feeling burned out. I'm like, oh, yeah. I just asked if he was, are you taking care of yourself? You're doing this and that. Sort of like the usual things that we'll go over in the podcast. And he said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, we got on with gaming. We're gaming different people. This weekend, I was sitting around. I'm like, there's things I want to do in my hobby space, but I just got no will to do them whatsoever. So I just sat in the dark and played games with the fan blowing on me. Just video games.
Which is a step above just sitting in the dark with a fan.
Yeah. And I was thinking about the podcast, episode. I'm like, I don't know what to talk about. Mm-hmm. So then I fired up ChatGPT. I'm like, so I asked it directly, please tell me what the next Bad Internet Friends Wargaming podcast should be about.
Yeah. Actually, the list you sent me was not that bad, but this was the most interesting one.
And it came up right away, hobby burnout. I'm like, well, that's really on point. It's been on my mind. So.
Well, and it is one of those things, like we've talked before about like how the wargaming hobby is like 12 different hobbies. There's like the painting and the gaming and the creating things and the sort of general like mucking about, whether that's like researching things or building models or planning stuff. There's like so many different pieces. And I think there's different degrees of ways you can get burned out on stuff, because you can be burned out on like a specific element of it, like if you're not really into painting. What I've seen happen a lot is somebody gets like a new army they want to do, but it turns out to be an army that's like really boring to paint.
Yeah.
So you're trying to paint, like 200 Necrons or something. And once you've done like 7 of them, you're just fucking done. Like you don't want to do any more Necrons.
No more.
So that's a way of, but that's more like a specific project. I think when people say burnout, that's more of a like, it's like existential dread for wargamers, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like or
general malady.
Yeah. So sitting and thinking about like ways you can, because everyone experiences it. Maybe you don't want to paint anything. Maybe you don't want to, or maybe you do want to paint. You don't want to play any games, or you don't want to like sit through creating one more fucking like 2,000 points old hammer army list or whatever. Or maybe you don't want to organize a game. Maybe you're sick of having to baby like a whole group of like adult children, or actual children. But the actual children are usually like better.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Maybe you have a creative burnout. So I was kind of like sitting and writing down some notes of like how, you know, how you have overcome burnout in the past or how you might do so. So I'm just going to throw one out there and then see what you think about it, or if you recognize it. And they're kind of in like different degrees of like severity, I guess, but not necessarily in order. So the first one I thought of was to swap the project you're working on. You know, put, if you're getting really sick of building like your jungle table or something, maybe it's time to build something that isn't that. If your burnout is about the specific project you're doing and not like the process itself, like if you're building terrain and you still want to build terrain, but you're just so sick of building for the stuff you got, you know. Like at some point, I think anyone who makes like ruined tables gets this at some point. You just can't stand any more fucking gray. You're trying to do something that is not. So that's like the smaller one. Like, and it can suck because if you're like, I think every gamer has like that fear that if you put a project away, then it's going to be half finished like 7 years from now when you go to just put the whole lot on eBay, right? So have you had that where you just are sick of doing a certain thing and just need to like switch the focus? Like you're not necessarily sick of like painting, but you're sick of painting like these guys.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just going to say hi to Lord Draconum before I continue. Yeah, sometimes commission painting, especially I found, especially because there's a sense of obligation there. The more obligation I feel, the less likely I want to do something.
Yeah, that could be a big, ironically, sometimes I have the opposite way, not for painting, but for like doing stuff. If there is like a hard deadline to it, sometimes it's like one of two effects. Either I will absolutely do it at the last possible second, or I'll be well motivated to like work on it well in advance. It just kind of depends. But I think that can be that's like the first step of seeing like, are you just kind of sick of like what you're painting? You know, I think some of the, especially if you just do like Warhammer or something, not to shit on Warhammer again, but like if you're just like, if all you've ever painted is just like Space Marines or even like Blood Angels or something, you know, you might be kind of sick of that, but if you grab something else to paint, some Warhammer Fantasy guys or some, you know, Battletech guys, or even just like a different Warhammer army, maybe you would suddenly like, oh, okay, this is actually fun. I'm having a good time again. You know, you can just be kind of sick of painting the same thing, because it's like, you know, if you're always painting like dudes in armor, maybe you would have more fun painting like dudes with fur or dudes with cloaks or something. You know, there's like a little more variety to it. The second thing was, maybe it's just time to start something completely new, which is like, I guess is like an offshoot of the same switching project, but maybe like my usual, like sometimes you'll get people who get like, they're burned out on doing like fantasy. So maybe it's time to do like a science fiction army, or maybe it's time to get those Napoleonics going or something. Try something that's just a complete change of pace, you know, get some spaceships or regular ships going. There was a blog I saw, it was a while ago, with a guy who, I don't know what, it was some Rang and Flank fantasy. I got the impression it was like an older game, but it doesn't matter what it was. But he was painting lots of dudes with little spears. And he had been blogging about how he was kind of sick of it. He would build like some elf army for some game. And he was sick of it. And he was kind of questioning whether he should just like stop. And then somebody invited him to play some like airplane game. It was just like, you know, do like a couple of like Spitfires or something to play like Battle of Britain stuff. And that was like what it took. Suddenly he was like posting again about how excited he was to paint these models and, you know, get stuff and research it and play games and stuff. So it's just like, but it had to be something that was like so different from what he was doing before. Because if you're doing something that's like kind of the same, like the feeling just, I think that can happen, especially for like painters, where like you get sick of painting and then you try to paint something different, but it's still kind of the same thing. You know, like I sometimes wonder if some of the excitement people get getting into like Battletech, because you get a lot of people who go from like Warhammer to Battletech. If some of that excitement isn't also just because it's like so different.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like you're painting, you know, instead of building an army, I just have to build like four guys and I can just kind of pick any guys, you know. So just getting like a whole new perspective on things, or, you know, like some people suddenly there's, you know, we've joked on the Weasel Court before about like how once you hit a certain age, you start like doing historical gaming.
yeah.
not just because you're dad age, although that's kind of part of it. It's like, you know, the stereotype of like everyone's dad who has like big opinions about the Battle of the Bulge or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Spends the holidays watching documentaries about Hitler. But it's also, I think, at that point, if you've been gaming, you know, if you started in Warhammer and been gaming your whole life on and off, you're just kind of like primed and ready for like something different, something that's completely, completely new. And you get the opposite too. People who swear they would never play like sci-fi gaming, suddenly they're buying some Tyranids.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it doesn't, I think sometimes people get like worried about like you have to be like super committed to a specific thing or it's like a betrayal or something, which is, you know, just do something that like, that you enjoy, you know? The other thing I thought of, which I've definitely done before, is like, there's like two ways you can go with it. This is maybe more on the gaming part. If you are like burned out on playing games or burned out on, you're just sick of it. Where on one hand, maybe you need to like go back to the basics. You know, if you've been playing a lot of like really complicated, like campaign kind of games, maybe you just need some like pickup games with like a basic army list, or maybe you need, you know, play some smaller games. If you're playing these like huge, like 3,000 point 40K battles, maybe it would be, you would have more fun going back to play like 1200 points and you can be done in like an hour or two. Or maybe you need to like blow it up or change it up on the gaming front. Maybe it is time to play like a huge battle because you're sick of just having, you know, the same seven units. Maybe you want to take all of your shit and put it on the table. Or maybe it is time to play in campaign and like have all of your characters like stick around and matter. But like, if you're still kind of into like whatever game you're playing or setting or historical period or something, but you're getting kind of like in a mire, like it feels like you're doing, have you ever had that where you're like playing a game a lot and so after a while it starts feeling like it's just the same game each time?
Yeah, definitely. You
know? Like back when I did a lot of 40K, everyone had different armies. There was a lot of us that played, but there was like two people I played with a lot. So when you're playing those guys with the same armies each time, and you know, you'll have like half your army will be the same each time. Sometimes it would just literally be the same, you know, especially when we were playing tournaments, because we would just, you would build your list and then you would keep playing it so you could like fine tune it right for next time.
Yeah.
And that could definitely get like, suddenly you couldn't remember like which game last week, like a certain thing happened in, because it was just,
it's always the same. Know.
Yeah. 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 Like, did my, like,
there's no scenarios. It's always just fight it out until someone's dead. Every single time.
Yeah, yeah, because especially when we were preparing for like tournament stuff, you never knew what the conditions were or if there even would be a victory condition. So just killing each other for a VP. So sometimes like just getting a change to it. You know, I remember for a while, I think in hindsight, we probably were getting burned out on 40K a little bit because we would just start coming up with the weird shit. Like we would try swapping armies, or we would like write up like four different, you would create like four different 500 point sections of an army, then you would blindly pick three of them, or just like weird crap we would do. Like, I remember we played a game where you would take like your squads from one codex and your characters from a different codex, just like stuff. Most of it was like, you know, completely stupid, but I think at that point, because this was like towards the end of third edition, where we were just, and actually once fourth edition came out, I stopped playing for like a really long time. So I think in hindsight, we were probably burned out on 40K. I know I certainly was at the time.
And he never got over it.
I took until eighth edition before I dipped my toes back in, actually. And then I realized I actually just kind of wanted to play the same shit I had played back then.
Oh, yes. Just go full nostalgia. Don't half
it. Yeah. Well, it was like, it's just like, I guess this could also be a way of, you know, if you're a lot of people who, especially with 40K, other games get it too, where like you get tired of like trying to keep up because there's like new codexes come out all the time, codices, updates and stuff, and like new box sets come out constantly. At some point, a lot of people get like sick of like keeping up with it. Like part of the appeal of like Battletech is that you can kind of just get any old box of mechs and play them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, there's new stuff coming out, but it's not necessarily like much stronger or whatever. Like you can still, if you have like an old set of like the original, like Unseen Mechs from like second or third edition or whatever, those are still like perfectly valid to play.
Mm-hmm.
you know, as long as you're like one of the cool dudes playing 3025 and not the other stuff.
Standees are actually still legit for the most part.
Yeah.
Unless the there's certain like hipster tournaments that will say you can't use standees, but
Somebody I almost got I didn't bid on it, but there was a first edition set which had like the cardboard stands that almost bid on it on eBay. Just because it was cool to have those.
Yeah, that cool art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And they have there's like a certain, you know, vibe to them. I just like them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The other option is to be more dramatic, and that is to take a break. Just like, but that's like where the danger comes in, right? Because like, I think people get afraid of like, there's always that like worry, like, oh, am I like
just done?
Yeah. Like, am I done with tabletop gaming? You know, although in my experience, I mean, some people do, I think there are people who just play like usually when they're like younger and then they kind of stop. Or they pick a different hobby, or they like will like muse nostalgically about it, but they don't really want to like play again. You know?
Yeah.
I get that a lot with like Magic the Gathering. Like every time I'll sometimes think about it. It's like, oh man, we had so much fun. And then I'll like get a deck and play like two games. And then I'll remember why I threw that shit in the bin and didn't want to play it anymore. So sometimes like the memories of it are better than the actual. But I think for a lot of people, especially if you've been like heavily involved, I think people will like come back to it. You see like a lot of dudes who, if you hang out in like a gaming store, you always see like the old guy come in.
Mm-hmm.
He'll talk about like, you know, Gen Con in 1992 or whatever.
Yeah.
Always have long stories, but you know, they come back around. They wonder if what all these Necrons are doing in Warhammer, that kind of thing. So have you ever had like a hiatus from like hobby stuff?
I think everyone has that one hiatus.
Mm.
Like at least 95% of hobbyists where you're young and you play and then you stop. You stop collecting, you stop painting, you stop doing anything. Maybe you sell your stuff, maybe you don't.
Mm.
But eventually you come back to it. Probably because the internet and social media has kind of redrawn you back in.
Yeah, you see something really cool and it's like,
yeah, you're like, oh, I used to collect Warhammer. I wonder what those miniatures look like now.
Yeah,
and then like, you see like, oh, the new miniatures, God. Like, oh.
Yeah, they all look amazing, right?
Yeah.
And then you don't paint them ever because you can't paint like all that shit.
Yeah.
No, I think that's definitely, I think for a lot of people, if you're like a super nerd, I think people will also like just cycle through. I have this a lot where like, I'll have like a period where I'm like, it's all miniatures. Then I'll have a period where it's all board games. Then I'll have a period where it's mostly focusing on RPG stuff. And or go through a period where I just kind of want to read like obscure like novels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also for a lot of people where you can kind of like cycle through. And I'm never like, minis for me is always like the constant. It's never like completely put on the back burner, but it gets like recreationally when I'm playing like for myself for fun. It can definitely be put like as to the side a little bit. There's like a certain mood that I gotta be in where, because it's such a different thing. Like I play a lot of like board war games.
Okay.
And like in a lot of ways, I think those are like my main wargaming hobby actually over minis. But there's like certain things, certain vibes they don't give you that miniatures do. And sometimes you get like, oh, okay, I want to, we talked about it like a while ago. That feeling of like having a table set up and you're like leaning down behind one of your guys to get like,
yeah.
And you realize there's like one rock in the middle that is blocking your line of sight. And like, is that moment of like this little world coming alive? The miniatures do really well that other games can't do.
Yeah. Hey, you don't look at the hex map and say, oh, that little chit of standees there.
Yeah. It's not really the same. Games like that can still be like evocative. It's too bad Torben is not on because we had one game of Punch and Idea where we had a like horse cart that took on like quite a few German soldiers successfully. So, sometimes like weird stuff can happen, but it's a very different sort of feeling. But so I think like cycling through to a different hobby, and I think for some people too, even within like minis gaming, because you can, you know, you can focus more on the gaming part, you can focus more on painting and building. you can kind of cycle through as well. But I think it also happens like naturally, especially over like a longer period of time. Like some people will have, if you're very like outdoorsy, you know, some people don't really play tabletop games in their summer because they want to be outside and do stuff or go kayaking or something. And it's more of a winter hobby for them, or maybe the other way around. You know, maybe you have stuff going on in the winter. I don't know.
Big skier.
Yeah. Or like you do like a amateur band, you guys like play in the winter or something.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is, like it can be a break for like a non-nerd hobby. I was kind of thinking like it would probably be healthy for a lot of nerds to have like one hobby that is not like nerd shit.
Yeah.
And it would probably also be healthy for a lot of like normies to have a hobby that was a little more nerdy. You know, so
yeah.
Kind of challenge your creativity and make you think a little bit.
Use your hands.
Yeah, do something. Use your brain, like think a little bit. It's actually good for you. But yeah, so like having a break from it, I think there's a difference actually between like saying that you're going to take a break versus it just kind of happens because you just don't want to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if you're saying, okay, I'm going to put this stuff away, I'm going to like pack up my paints for a while, put them in a box, put them where, you know, where I store that stuff, and I'm going to focus on whatever. Maybe you're learning like French and you focus on that for a while.
Yeah.
So it's like a deliberate choice as opposed to like you're sitting every day, you're looking at like the box of paints that's half open and there's like a half painted goblin on your table and it's just like staring at you with like sad little plastic eyes.
Yeah, that's right. But they feel so happy when they finally get done.
Yeah, until you paint the eyes and they look like tiny little maniacs with like googly eyes pointing in like different directions. But like having just setting like a deliberate break, you know, like you're gonna do something else, you're gonna focus on a different thing, or you're gonna, you know, or maybe you're gonna take the time to like sort through all of your old shit and figure out which of these projects are you actually ever gonna finish, which could you probably just get rid of.
Sometimes I think a true hobby burnout could be defined by you have this hanging feeling above your head of obligation.
Yes.
And you just can't bring yourself to do it, no matter what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Not necessarily painting miniatures, but something there's just like hangs above you. And you're like, I got to get this done, but I just can't. So you start hiding yourself away.
Yeah, there's like, I think a lot of people who are prone to like procrastinating on things will have that exact same feeling. Where it's like the more a deadline approach and the more you're behind on something, the more impossible it becomes to do. Which is like it can be an annoying feeling when it's like painting some goblins or like tidying up like the kitchen, and it can be like, you know, actually like crushing if it's like something you're doing for your job or something, you know.
Yeah. Like or paying your bills.
Yeah, well, have you ever had this feeling where, like, you realize, like, you missed the bill in the mail or something or whatever? Yeah. Like, now it's, like, super behind and you gotta, like, call them and deal with it and you're, like, fucking dreading it. Yeah. And then when you call them on the phone, you get, like, a nice old lady and she gets you sorted out in, like, 5 minutes.
Oh, sweet old ladies.
Yeah.
I've always been good with bills. I don't have that. But I know that my wife is more prone to not paying the bills.
Yeah.
And she takes care of all the bills. So sometimes I learn, I'm like, well, there's a letter in the mail that says we're going to be cut off.
Yeah. Like, so you got to make a phone call. But that's the thing. Like, I've had this sometimes where, you know, you kind of dread it because you build up in your head, like, all the possible things. Like, oh my God, I didn't pay this bill from the veterinarian for like $100. So I'm going to go to like Rikers as a felon now. And it turns out that they actually just want you to like give them their money or like make a payment plan or something.
Yeah. Some money's better than no money.
Yeah. We had one bill that it was one, I think it got lost when we moved. And it took a while for their notices to finally reach us here.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I'll do it and figure it out. And then it turned out when I went to the website, you didn't even have to speak to a person. It had like, you just put in how many months you wanted to pay over.
Oh.
and then it automatically like calculated it all out. You just put it. So I put it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was like I had set aside like a whole day to like be on hold and stuff, and you didn't even have to. So, but yeah, I think with unfinished projects, I think it can get worse if it's something that involves other people as well. Like if you're used to showing off a project online or something, because that can create like a sense of obligation.
Yeah.
Then it can feel like, oh, I, you know, Because then you go on the website or the forum or something, you know, you see like your thread has been, nobody has posted to it for like 3 months. So you get like weird. Yeah. So I think about those cases. And it can feel like very decisive to say like, you know, oh, I'm like not going to finish that squad. Like, I just can't do it. I want to do something different. So, but I think it's also ironically, there's this like piece of advice that I got in like one of those like stupid self-help books years ago. But it's one of the few that actually is totally real, true, it's, at least for something that you have to do. It's not always worth it for stuff you don't need to. But it's whatever you've like built up that thing to in your head of how difficult it's going to be to get back to it is actually like complete bullshit.
Yeah.
Like once you sit down and spend like half an hour, you'll just be like back into it. I get it a lot with like writing stuff where I'll, if I haven't worked on something for a while, in my head, it is like a massive thing to get it done because I'll know how much is left. Mm-hmm. You know, like, fuck, I got to do like 20,000 like words to get this up to wherever it needs to be. And, but then when you sit down, it's just like, okay, well, I can just do like the terrain rules today. And then, then you're like back into it, and then you'll see, you know, when you're doing those, you realize, oh, okay, I need to like update the vehicle thing, so you go do that. So if it's something that's like an actual obligation that you're struggling with and you've been pushing off, like just set yourself down to do like a page or one section or a problem or an item or whatever, however your project is like parceled out, you know, just do any little thing. And I promise you, like, it'll be, you'll be back in business. So, have you ever found when it comes to like, if you're painting up, like, let's say you have a commission you're doing, because you used to do commission painting, right?
Yeah.
So let's say the commission is for like a fair amount of guys and it's going to take you, it's more than you do in one setting. Have you found that it makes a difference to you if you sit down to like grind out as much of it as possible? Or if you like parcel it out like little bits, so you paint like you got to paint 20 guys, and it's going to take you like, you know, an hour per guy.
Like parceling things out is one of my hobbies, honestly. I love parceling. Okay. Yeah.
So like one guy a night for like 20 days or something.
Yeah, I'll just like set a project. I'm like, I'm gonna repaint all these guys black, so that I have them ready for later to do some other painting. You know, so they're all getting primed.
Yeah.
So I got like a bucket of them over to the side. And then whenever I'm not really doing much in particular, but I don't really want to paint, I just grab that bucket and start priming.
Oh, gas. Okay. So have like a random stuff.
Yeah. Just like a little side project always on the go.
Yeah. That's
no obligation, good idea. You know,
because there's always like something, you know, some dudes who need priming, some dudes who need like picking apart stuff that needs putting on bases or something.
Yeah. But like, yeah, for commission painting, you definitely want to have assembly line, or if you're working on an army or even a large skirmish force, you know, think about all the steps you're going to do, you know, just kind of plan it out in your head. And then when you come back to it, you just look at it and be like, okay, well now I'm painting metal on these weapons. So I'm just going to go paint all the metal on the weapons, and then I'll put them back in the box.
Cause that's the other thing, right? Like a lot of times if you've done work on something and then you have to take a break from it for whatever reason, either because you're fat and lazy or because you, you know, had to take a break from it. But like coming back to it and then like not remembering where you were in the process or what you needed to do next can make it, at least for me, that can often make it like much more difficult to like go back to something.
You once ruled the realms with dice and a sword, painted goblins till tea, then your minis were stored. You grew up, got a job, bought a flat, wore a tie, swapped dragons for deadlines, your brushes went dry. Now the dishes are done, and the kids are in bed. You climb to the attic to raise the undead. Crack open the paints that you swore you'd outgrown. The smell of acrylic, it feels like your home. There's grey in your beard, even more on your head, but you're splashing some colour on plastic and lead. So welcome back, General. What took you so long? Your hobby's still here. It's the place you belong. The Bedroom Battlefields Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Find it at bedroombattlefields.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, definitely. Like when you forget your paint recipe that you stepped the project away from 2 years ago.
And
you
came back.
Okay, I don't remember what color I used for this. And I only did half these guys, so now Now we got to figure it out.
Right. But maybe you're lucky now army painter just like makes that color.
Yeah. Or you just don't care and you keep going.
Yeah. Like, fuck it.
But yeah, if you do care, then you can get stuck. And I think for me, the most important thing for hobby burnout or burnout in general is to treat it like a flu or a cold or something like that. Mm. Maybe, you know, like my stomach hurts. Why is my stomach hurt? Mm. So you just kind of like go back and try to like retrace your steps. So you think like, why am I burned out? Like, well, you know, is it because I really don't want to paint anymore? Or is it something else? Is there something else on my mind?
Yeah.
Is it an outside force? Is there anything I can do about it?
Right.
Is it just, you know, I haven't been doing enough of some other hobby that I want to do, like playing video games.
Yeah.
I haven't been playing video games and I want to play some video games. So you probably should just take care of that. Just go play some video games and then come back to it.
Maybe there is something that, you know, or sometimes it's, I find ironically during times when I'm not actively playing something, I am more motivated to like work on building a couple models or something.
Yeah.
Like if I'm in a period where I'm mostly just playing board games, then I will enjoy building a couple of guys or painting a little bit. Mm-hmm. Whereas, so it's like if it's not, you know, because it becomes something you can just tussle with like on the side a little bit.
And if it is a project you need to work on and you just can't bring yourself to do it, then sometimes it's okay just to sit at your desk or wherever your painting space is and be surrounded by your stuff, but don't touch them. Just go on to, if you have like a laptop or a computer or a phone or something, you know, just sit there near your things and start doing something else.
Time
like that's not hobbying. So you're going to watch a video or you're going to play a mobile app or something like
that. Conan the Barbarian for the 87th time.
And then maybe you get bored of doing whatever you're doing and you're like, well, I got my things around me. Maybe I will just start touching paint.
So you sort of like set yourself up that like, oh, okay. You know.
Yeah, if I'm just in my space anyway, so maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Yeah. I think you kind of touched on something too, where it's like there might be a part of the project you're doing or the game you're playing or whatever that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't really, we don't seem to like sit and think about that because, you know, it's a hobby, it's a pastime. So, you know, you have to be a nerd to overthink it. But, you know, if there is an element of it, like if you are really, you know, that can happen a lot. Like you get really sick of like really competitive play. But so your burnout is not necessarily like Warhammer, but it might be that you need to play Warhammer either with some different guys or just get your people to talk into playing a different kind of Warhammer. You know, like, hey, there's all these scenarios in these books, should we like try one just to see?
No,
you know. Yes,
all or we you do know, put our armies here and they meet in the center and we fight. Yes. And that's it. Kick we go it. Home and come back and do it again tomorrow.
Yes, with the exact same army, but more dudes.
That's right. Until we're ready for the tournament.
Yes. Well, see, so that's the thing, you know, like, figure out, like, the part you don't like about it. Or maybe sometimes it's, like, you literally just hate, like, your friend Jeff's, like, army. Like, can you just fucking play something different? There was a thread on, I think, Reddit many years ago, this guy who was talking about, he had this, like, really bizarre army in, I think, 8th edition 40K that was made entirely out of, like, tanks and, like, Imperial Assassins or something. It was one of those, like, super bizarre armies. It was just, like, tanks and, like, super-powered characters. And his, like, poor friend had bought, like, a starter set for one of the armies and kept getting fucking plowed. And he was asking, like, oh, what can I do to, like, optimize my friend's army? And everyone was like, just play, like, a normal army for a while, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, let him learn how to play the actual game before you pull out all the fucking bullshit.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Just don't step on his neck every single game.
Yeah, like, be a, you know, I know that, like, your value as a person literally depends on how many Warhammer games you play and win. But, you know, come the fuck on. But yeah, like pulling out the parts that just do kind of suck. And maybe, you know, sometimes you can circumvent them or avoid them. Sometimes maybe you can't, but you can, like, if you're dreading painting up like a rank and flank army to like super standards, maybe go real fast and simple on the grunts, like the infantry or whatever. You know, try building, if you're like a kind of a perfectionist with painting, try like speed painting an army. Like try set yourself, can I get, like, pretend that it's like the night before a tournament and you got to get the shit done by tomorrow. You know, like try that, you know, try something new. Try to like challenge yourself a little bit.
Yeah, for me, I always like to research something, or if I find out some new technique that I haven't heard of before, I want to look up the videos and I'll watch the videos, and then I need to try it. Like, just recently I learned about Noosh from Monument Hobbies. And Noosh is an acrylic medium that behaves in some aspects like an oil wash, but in other aspects, not so much. So in the way that you could put like an enamel or an oil on a miniature and then wipe it off, you get like that grim dark look. You can do that with Noosh as well, because it has like a super high dry and retardant time, and it's really thick. So yeah, you just like slap the grime on and then you can wipe it off and then you let it dry. And it kind of adds like nice weathering effects and things. So, you know, like you see those like cool little new techniques, then sometimes you just want to sit at your desk and like try them out. So that's another way you can, you know, fight the burnout is just
try something new
on your own, you know, like find inspiration. Don't say, well, I don't actually have any use for this, so why would I even bother doing it? Just try it out, because like, it's new. So why not?
And then you might find a use after, or you, you know, acquire a new skill, essentially.
Yeah, or you don't like it at all, and that's fine, and then you go back to doing what you're doing.
No, that's totally true as well. Just, and I guess it's the same, you know, you can apply it to, like, a variation of that to anything else. You know, try setting yourself something new, or just experiment a little bit. There's so much to learn, especially for the creative elements of the hobby.
Yeah, like when you get tired of writing rules, you start writing romance novels, right? And then you hate it and go back to writing rules again.
That's where all the money is. But yeah, maybe the opposite is also true. The guys who are, or the people who are, I think it's mostly women, who are selling like smut novels on the Kindle store, maybe they get tired of writing about big throbbing werewolves and they just want to write some war games.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you gotta shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I see this a lot when you see like in communities where people talk about like reading books and stuff, and they'll talk about how they're like sick of reading books. But then it turns out that the only thing they've read are like werewolf romance for like 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, and at that point, you probably like, I would assume you've seen like all the good werewolf romance and probably also all the bad. And now you're just like dredging like the bottom of the pit for anything that has like a shapeshifter that gets horny.
Yeah, that's right.
So maybe you need to do some vampire romance, like branch out a little bit, try something new. There's also an element, and this is, I guess, more so when it's something that is like a professional thing, like in my case, you know, writing is a job. Or if you're commission painting, as it applies there, or if you're organizing stuff. And like, to an extent, if you're in that situation, sometimes I think you do have to kind of like just tell yourself that it's a fucking job and you don't really have a choice. Like, you can sit in the kitchen and eat Pop-Tarts, or you can sit at the fucking keyboard. Your job is to sit at the keyboard. So, you know, now you can take the Pop-Tarts to the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah.
So, don't do that. That's how you get a gross ass keyboard. But you know, sometimes like there is. I'm not a huge fan in general of the. You should see this all the time online. People tell you, you just have to like suck it up and muscle through everything. That's how you end up with like broken legs and like an alcohol problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, sometimes a little bit of that is, I think, can be good for you. Like if you're, if you need to get this army done because you have an event in 3 days and this is the one night, maybe you just need to sit the fuck down with a brush and like get something going, like put on Conan the Barbarian again, or watch Gladiator yet again. Just put Gladiator on repeat till your fucking army is done. You know, sometimes that can be. I think I mentioned before, but I finished one project just listening to Silverchair like over and over.
Yeah,
not even like a whole album. It was literally just like Anthem for the Year 2000 on repeat. So, which means now, that's like nuts. Apple Music thinks that I'm like the biggest fucking Silverchair fan in the world in the year 2025, because nobody else listened to the song like 87 times in like one day. It's a good song. I remember when it came out; it seemed very profound.
I can't think of it off the top of my head. I definitely have listened to Silverchair though.
Yeah, everyone. If you're about the age when we were born. Everyone listened to Silverchair. You should look up the video afterwards. It's very of its time. It's a great song. It's actually stays great even after 87 consecutive listens.
It wasn't their most popular one, was it?
I think it was. It became a hit. Like, it got MTV play, but I don't remember. It was one of those bands that like everyone kind of made fun of at the time and didn't want to admit that they were actually pretty rad. And also they were all like fucking 17 when they were putting out that album. So like, I could play guitar at 17. I can't play guitar now. Yeah.
They did a good job.
So there's like I think what it was, they were like the kids version of like Nirvana or something.
Yeah.
Because they were kind of having like that sound, but without like the edginess of being like a suicidal drug addict.
I think they're from Australia too, right?
They were, yeah. I don't know if they're even around anymore. Maybe they've been like just grinding out albums for the past like 20 years. And
no one listens.
Yeah. They just had that one song. Wikipedia says it was an Australian rock band, so that doesn't bode well. They probably all like died of drugs. They had 5 albums actually, so they got around. So
not everyone 95 gets 5 albums.
2007. You should definitely check that out first.
They couldn't survive new metal. New metal killed them, didn't it?
It probably did. Yeah. I was looking at shit the other day and like marveling at how short the grunge period was, because like I remember it when I was a kid and it seemed like forever, because you know when you're a kid everything is like but it was really only like 2 years or something. Like new metal came, like hair metal died, then like grunge came, and then like by like 94 95 the new metalers were already like wiping that out.
Yeah, that's right. Korn was like, already creeping up.
Yeah, like Korn. I went because I listened so much of that shit at the time when it was coming out. So last year I was going through like a bunch of those bands to listen to them again. Like some of it was still pretty good, and some of it was a little less good.
Yeah, I did a lot of hobbying to nu metal because I did it with my friends, and they chose the music.
Oh, okay.
So I'm super familiar with nu metal.
Yeah. So
it wasn't all bad.
No, there was some good stuff. I was disappointed with myself listening to like an old Limp Bizkit CD and be like, you know what, this wasn't, I'm not gonna admit this, but this wasn't that bad. It's like the second one. I don't remember the name of it. Like early Korn was pretty good.
I just wasn't that angsty, you know. I couldn't relate.
Yeah, well that's the funny thing, because I was never like a real angsty person, but like super like angsty and depressive music always just like really like has like a relaxing calming effect.
Oh yeah.
So it's like if you're not feeling all the angst, then it's sort of relaxing to have somebody else feeling it. You know, it's
at
like
least I'm not that guy.
Yeah. Like holy shit, that dude's wife like killed herself and then ran over the dog. That's harsh, man. You know, like I just don't have enough money to go get a hot dog today. That's a lesser type of world pain. There's this band I've been listening to for a while called Woods of Eep, and like every single song is about like how his girlfriend left him. So I don't know if it's the same girlfriend, like she left him like 200 times, or if he says like maybe he needs to like get himself together. Maybe he's just, like doesn't brush his teeth or something.
Sounds like it. I mean, if you're not brushing your teeth, you're not going to keep your girlfriend. She's going to leave you every day.
Yeah.
If you just brush your teeth that one day, she would have stayed.
Yeah, that's all it took. But then he wouldn't have a career, so.
Yeah.
I guess that sort of leads to the last point I put on, which is like sometimes, especially for nerds, nerds are not necessarily known for like taking good care of themselves physically or mentally. And that can affect how much energy you got for things. Like if you're sitting around and you really need to get started on something and you just fucking can't, maybe go out in the yard or go sit on the steps outside your apartment or something. Just like take in a little bit of fresh air, take in some nature, get some sun in your eyes or some rain. And just, you know, or, you know, go for a little walk, rejuvenate yourself, you know, take care of, you know, take some reasonable breaks off the internet and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like just being in better, I can tell sometimes, you know, like if I haven't been, I try to like go for a walk every day, but if I don't for a while, I'll just like feel, it's funny because you think like, oh, going for a walk or exercising or something will like use up all your energy, but it's kind of the opposite. Just have more energy.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have a weekend where you kind of didn't go anywhere and you didn't do anything, and sometimes it feels like you're almost like more exhausted than from a weekend where you like went and did something cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, doing nothing is the worst thing for your body.
Yeah, it's easy to just like wither away, especially if you also like eat kind of garbage.
Yeah. And the more time you have to do what you want to do, the less likely you are to do what you want to do. In my case, at least.
I have to be
doing something, wishing I was doing something else. So when I finally get a chance to do something else, I'll go and do it.
Yeah. It's like the paradox of time, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I guess this is like was like running the risk of becoming like the self-help episode or something. But I think like most of the time when I've been like really burnt out and stuff, it's kind of one of those things, like figuring out like what it is that is actually, that you're actually sick of, or maybe it's just time to like move on to something else. I've never, like, especially when it's like hobby stuff, like recreationally, I don't usually feel like guilty about it. Sometimes I'll feel guilty because I like bought something and it's just sitting on the shelf. Like I have a board game I bought a while ago now, and I keep like looking at it. So I'm the top of the pile because I want to like get it on the table, but I also know it's going to be like an hour to set it all up and then a whole day to play.
So, yeah.
But you know, it can kind of sit there until, you know, you're ready for it. But I think like just being kind of at peace with that, if you see it as more of like a natural like progression, that like, okay, there's going to be a point where I'm just don't want to paint that much, or I don't, not really into playing, and I can just like put it to the side a little bit, do something different, come back to it. Mm-hmm. I think if you take that as like a natural thing, you know, that could be just a healthier way of thinking about it, because then hopefully you can avoid like beating yourself up and just like feel really negative about it, because then it becomes like, it compounds itself, you burned out on it, and now you're also like kind of disgusted with yourself that you didn't get the thing done, or you wasted money on it or something.
Yeah, exactly. It takes up way too much real estate in your head.
Yeah, and it becomes like, it becomes a problem when it really didn't need to, like all along. Like everyone has enough shit going on, you know, like you're worried about like the vet bill or the car making weird noises, you don't need to also worry that like you didn't paint some goblins, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like some of those things can be like pushed out, and you know, there's something something different you can do with it.
But then of course, if it is something you really want to do and you just can't bring yourself to do it, that is, you know, a good indication maybe you do have a problem that you should, you know, try to find help for, because you know, you are being blocked now from finding something that makes you happy.
And there can be, like, you know, if you have, like, ADHD or something, you have to approach things a different way to get, like, stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's kind of like a recurring joke of, like, the gamer who, like, sees a new project every day and wants to do that. So they never fit it. Like, I can sometimes be bad about that. I'm better about it now because I had to force myself to say that I'm only going to work on, like, a couple of things or be interested in a couple of things. And everything else, I'll just admire at a distance and see other people doing it.
Oh yeah, I'll just give myself a time frame. If like I don't get it done by this period of time, then I'm going to move on to something else.
Yeah. There's also there was some dude I talked to who said that what he tries to do is he'll like put a list on it, like he'll put it in his like email calendar.
Oh yeah.
That like if he sees like, oh, he gets like the urge to build a Napoleonic army, he's going to put it in the calendar for like next Sunday, and then he's when it pops up, he's going to sit and look at it like, do I really want a Napoleonic army? And then if you still want it, then go for it. Like, start figuring out what you need to do to play Black Powder or whatever.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, the urge just kind of passed because it was just like, oh, okay, is this just because you saw, like, a clip from a movie or something? And you're like, you know.
You like, saw a post of a cool-looking Napoleonic army, and now you want a Napoleonic army.
Yeah, yeah. Then you realize you don't want to paint, like, 200 French mustaches.
Not of that scale.
right. And then like as soon as you've decided that you're not gonna do it, then you see like Warlords like epic Napoleonic range or something, and now you want it all over again, but in a different scale. So now it's different.
Yeah.
So you gotta put it back on the calendar and go back and check. But yeah, I think also there's this like old truism that if you keep like pushing off something or procrastinating on something or putting it up out, it can be that you subconsciously, either there's a part of it that you really don't want to do, but it can also be that subconsciously you don't think that you can do it, either because of a skill issue or you're lacking a resource or you think it's way too complicated or whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes trying to like piece that out can help you like get back on track with it. You know, if you realize that in order to build like that cool Elder army, you're going to have to paint like a bunch of really complicated characters, and you either don't want to do that or you don't have the painting skill to it, maybe you can work around that and say, okay, this army is going to have like very few characters and it's going to be mostly like squads and tanks or something.
Yeah.
You know, or even just like acknowledging like, okay, this is going to be the difficult part, so I need to like put extra care on that, but I don't have to start there. You know, I can start by painting some guardians or something.
Yeah. It is a myth, I think, that people say you'll never come back to something to paint it.
Mm.
Because you can, and you do sometimes, you know, maybe it takes years, but maybe one day you're like, you know what? I have leveled up enough. I'm ready to tackle that 1 minute. Sure. I couldn't do then. You know, I got it halfway there. I'm going to come back to it. And I'm going to finish it off.
Yeah. And also nowadays, like, as a lot of stuff, like techniques, like stripping paint, if you really do need to start over, mm-hmm. are like much more advanced, and there's much more knowledge about how to do it than there was, you know, back in the day. So you can just kind of reset the project, or you just go on eBay and buy another one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fuck that one up. I'm going to get a different one. And maybe it looks cooler now anyway, because the model kits are so much better.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, yeah. And also, like, a lot of, especially when you play like weird indie games where you can kind of use whatever models you want. Like, sometimes having some stuff sitting around in a box somewhere in the bin, you suddenly realize, like, oh, I have the perfect use for this guy that I bought like 15 years ago. It's just been sitting in a box.
Mm-hmm. Now, like, I don't need to buy new miniatures. But then you look at it and you're like, actually, it'd be cool to have some more miniatures to go along with this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Now I need, now you wish you bought like 20 of them back then.
Yep.
So, and then you buy those guys and they go back in the box, so you don't end up finishing the project. But yeah, I think sometimes you can sort of get around it by just being, you know, thinking about it in a different way, trying to attack the problem a little bit of a different way. And sometimes you can just kind of embrace it.
Yeah, and just don't think of it as a negative necessarily.
Yeah, I think
the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, I think it's maybe it's like a thing of like, if you identify yourself very strongly as being like a figure painter, then if you get sick of painting figures, then, you know, you can't be a figure painter anymore. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, you can be whatever you want. That's what my school teacher said.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, maybe don't identify yourself like that strongly as like with that specific aspect. You know, it's okay to, like I said before, sometimes you get the dude who never wanted to play Napoleonics, and suddenly that's the only thing that'll do.
Yeah.
Or vice
conventional versa. Farmer wisdom says you got to rotate your crops. You know,
that is true.
Plant your new stuff. Don't just keep growing the same stuff. So
yeah, or, you know, so yeah, you gotta shake it up a little bit, gotta change it up, and just experience. Who knows? You might realize some stuff out there was like super fun. I know some people will go to like gaming conventions in order to play games that in order to play games that they normally never would. And some people do that because they're interested in the game. You want to see it, right? And but others is just like, you know, like, once in a great while, I want to try this kind of game, but I don't really want to like build for it or paint it. Or so you can try it like at a convention. So like, I don't want to build like an American Civil War army, but I would like to play an American Civil War game that was like a big, huge battle with tons of minis at a convention.
You know?
So you can, get a different kind of vibe out of it without having to come. Or maybe, you know, if you're have a friend and you're both building stuff, maybe you build two different like games or settings or periods or whatever, and you can sort of take turns a little bit. So like, I build, you know, two little World War II armies, and you build two little like space armies or space fleets or whatever. You know, so you can sort of change it up a little bit, you know. But yeah, that's sort of the extent of thought. This got very like touchy-feely, didn't it?
Yeah, that's burnout, though, is you have to be in touch with your feelings, I think, when you have burnout.
Yeah.
If you just keep ignoring it, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, like, I think you said, like, you get to a point where, like, you're getting actually stressed out about it, which, you know, that's not doing anyone any good. So, like, it's okay to, like, acknowledge that, like, maybe I'm just not really into it right now. And
yeah,
be okay with that. Like,
yeah, find the source and try to deal with it.
Yeah, whether that means just stepping back for a while, maybe. It means hobbying something different or trying something new. Maybe you should play Magic the Gathering. I don't know.
No. That's not the answer.
Yeah.
Magic is not the answer.
Have you ever seen a bunch of people, Magic the Gathering fans? None of them look happy.
Yeah, no. No, definitely.
Like, they should have some burnout. That would be better for them. Cheaper. So, but, you know, you can get into something else, like autoerotic asphyxiation or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's a healthy alternative.
Yeah,
it clears the mind. Yeah,
briefly.
yeah, very briefly.
I mean, I guess that's kind of like the extent of it.
We don't have too much going on for chat. Mostly just Lord Draconum.
Yeah,
so I'll touch base with them. If anyone has any other questions or comments that they want us to read out, for sure, mention it. but otherwise I'm just going to touch base. Lord Draconis was saying that he didn't paint in 6 months, plus months, which is a long time. You know, like maybe, I mean, there's got to be a reason why he didn't paint.
Yeah, so maybe. And
trying to find a solution for that usually is probably the best bet.
Yeah, trying to interrogate a little bit. Or maybe you're okay not having painted. Maybe it's just like, he's staying away from the Magic the Gathering. See, that's the right decision. Sometimes embracing the burnout can also be good for you.
Well, that's another one, though. If you like, you could play with other people's Magic cards. Let them take the brunt of it.
Yeah. And
you just show up to play, and that's it.
Find somebody who's like good at building decks and just play theirs instead of being frustrated that your jank elf deck gets fucking obliterated by some monster you never even knew existed.
That's right.
Not that that happened. No, but yeah, you know. Just sort of like chill out and embrace, you know. It's a long, like, you get these dudes who show up at, like, you know, the guy who shows up at the game store talks about stories from Gen Con in 1992. That means he's been, like, playing tabletop game for, like, 30 years. You know, he didn't play, like, every day for 30 years. And he probably had, like, 3 years where he was just, like, building something in his garage.
Yeah.
You know, right. Then he came back to it.
And he raised some kids or something, probably.
Yeah, you know, like, stuff happens, things going on. So, yeah, like, just take the long, like, look at it, or the long perspective, you know?
Well, I got one thought about kind of hobby burnout related, but more of a, you know, just like a ponderance is, do you remember there's like a, I think it's a White Dwarf article from a very long time ago, probably the early 90s, about this guy who said the best thing you can do is to build one army, paint one army, and just play that army and don't do any other armies.
Oh, yeah. It's,
he never says how long he sustained that.
Yeah,
how long did it last?
It was the Richard Stallman, Stallmania. It was like a whole thing. It was
I remember that.
You're supposed to build that army, just kind of stick with it. You were supposed to like paint all of it, give it a gloss coat, and then not touch it ever again. You're supposed to name all the characters. He even suggested like if your friends tell you they want to play a larger points game, just bring that army anyway and just fight fight against the odds. If your friends figure out your army, who cares, just get better at playing it. It was one of those things that was always like very it was probably jazzed up a little bit. I did it for a little while with a Space Wolf army I had built for, this is in third edition 40k, where I had built it for a tournament. So I had like a handful of old models, and I had gotten, because there was a bunch of new box sets coming out with Space Wolves, I got like, you know, a couple of the squad boxes.
Oh yeah.
And I built an army that was like pretty cheap, and then I played it at the tournament completely untested, and it worked really well. And then I just played that army for like a year. It was actually kind of cool because like literally I could just take it out of the box and set it up. Like all of the shoulder plates had like squad markings, very simple ones. So I could just put them exactly where they needed to go. There was no, you didn't have to learn anything. You always knew how that army worked. It was really fun. I don't normally like to play that way, and I didn't go back to it again, but it was like a cool experience to have, just playing that army, because you just like, you did get better at playing it, you know, because you only have like this list of resources in your game.
Yeah.
It was cool to have like the same character, and you kind of remember like what he's done in different games and stuff. So they did, it gave them like a little personality.
It's true.
Sometimes it's worth trying. But yeah,
I am kind of doing that too with my undead army. Like I got them done, the 1500 points for OPR. Mm-hmm. Everything's good to go, so I'm just going to keep playing it done.
Yeah.
I did that with my goblins for more time.
Mm-hmm.
That was a struggle. I didn't enjoy that one as much.
I think it helps if you're like really like committed to the army.
Yeah.
It's one of the things where I think you can do it like in a bad way, because you'll get people who get download like the killer army list from like Reddit or something, but they don't really give a shit about that army. They just got it because it would like be better. So you burn out on that army pretty quickly.
Netless.
But if you're like really into that army and like it has some meaning to you and just enjoy like the models and enjoy playing with it, then I think that can be like really cool. you know, it's kind of like the old, if you read like really old White Dwarf, they always talk about like building like war bands of stuff where you're supposed to like keep track of your characters and who dies, like loot weapons off the battlefield, is, you know, which, so it's sort of like an offshoot of that. It's the same kind of vibe of, you know, these guys that are, you know, a little recurring. It's my dudes, right?
Yeah, that's right. Still, so. I want to know, I just wish I knew how long he ended up playing that army.
From what I saw when somebody tracked him down for an interview on one of like the old Hammer blocks. Once he stopped working Games Workshop, I think he like went back to mostly just playing historical games.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, but maybe he did the same thing there. He just had his, like Roman army.
I only play Romans. Doesn't matter who I'm fighting. If it's Napoleonics, I don't care. My Romans are going in.
Still starting up with my Roman army. So that's the spirit, man. We gotta be fucking committed.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know, there's a something appealing to the dude who spent, you know, whatever, let's say 400 British pounds at the time to build his army, because it was all metal figures back then. Oh, yeah. And then he just was done. Like, he now has an army, he's gonna keep playing it. New edition comes out, fuck it, I'm still playing that army. Doesn't matter if it sucks now. You know, the only time you'd have to change is if one of the models could like no longer be used. Otherwise, you're just rocking out with your army out.
Happen sooner than you think.
Yeah, probably.
Games Workshop.
I wonder if ever now I'm gonna look at like current Space Marine armies. I try to see like how many of the units that are like popular, because I know all the units are still in the Codex, but how many of the units that are actually getting used can I like even recognize anymore? And it's like less and less each every like 6 months, because like all the Primaris stuff, new vehicles and characters and like crazy armor and stuff. So it's like you could.
But the Terminators are back though, at least.
Yeah. They've got some updated kits and stuff. But yeah, I found an article. I was looking for old White Dwarfs for Rogue Hammer with the original Terminator models that were completely hideous.
Saturnine.
Yeah, I guess they.
Which actually are coming back too. The Saturnine.
Yeah, like every possible version is now like a separate unit. Like the Chaos ones are like a separate thing now. What became like Chaos Terminators, now that's like a separate kind of Terminator armor. You can probably have an army entirely of Terminators and they all have like different armor.
That'd be pretty sweet. Thing.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet.
Might work in Rogue Hammer. Yeah.
So let's see, Lord Dracon was saying he didn't feel like painting, so he's playing Rangers of Shadowdeep. But he's trying to get his friends to play some other co-op games.
There's a couple out there I might recommend for you.
Yeah. Co-op games, it definitely is the era for co-op gaming. It's so much better now than it used to be.
Yeah, there's way more of that. And kind of across, because even like board games, there's so many now that are co-op or soloable. Minis games, obviously there's a ton of that stuff. Even if you're somebody who doesn't mind like two-fisting it, that's just, it's so much better. And that can also like help the burnout. Maybe you just want to like, you're sick of like competitive gaming, but you still want to play with your friends. So maybe it's just time to try something completely different.
Well, I got a question for you. Did you ever look into that one game you posted? Call to Adventure, was it?
Oh, yes. I decided, because all the reviews I saw said it's like a little card game, and you, like, I guess, roll runes. You basically have, like, a hero, and you're trying to, like, build them up by doing little quests. And all the reviews said that the only problem with the game was that it was, like, a little too simple. And I was like, okay, but that's kind of, like, exactly what I want. Okay. So I was looking to get as like a family game for us.
Yeah.
So I'm 100% getting it with the expansion, but because we're going out of town this weekend, I didn't want it to risk like showing up at my doorstep on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And then sitting there and being high sitters, a cat piece on it or something.
Yeah, so, no. Oh, gross.
Totally gonna get it. Yeah, I was actually at like Barnes & Noble's because their board game section is like better than the local gaming store.
Yeah. It's bananas.
So. Yeah, and it wasn't like super expensive either. So I was kind of struggling with like, should I get it from Noble Knight Games, which is usually where I get stuff from, and I want to keep them around, or should I get it from the bookstore so that it shows the bookstore that there's demand for board games? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah,
we have Chapters here, which is not as good as Barnes and Nobles by any stretch of the imagination, especially for board games. But I think they do carry it. So I told my wife. Because one day, her and my daughter just started playing like this story game where they took tarot cards and like made a story based on the tarot cards.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure they've summoned some sort of dark demon into the world, and they're to blame for everything that's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. Somebody's responsible. That's very reassuring. I was starting to get worried.
There's a reason.
It looked, because a lot of people were saying that, like, if you like taking, like, the different quests and stuff on monsters on the cards and, like, making a little story out of it, it's really good for that. And it was, it's, like, on the simpler side. I was like, okay, that sounds perfect. That's exactly, like, what I wanted. So, yeah.
Well, maybe we'll both get to play it someday and do a whole episode on Call to Adventure.
Yeah, we could do a little like board game episode. I have a lot.
I think it could be fun.
Board games I could talk about. You know, sort of the other nerdiness.
Yeah, the only game I ever played lots of, board game wise, that wasn't like Monopoly or whatever that you played as a kid, was Ghost Fight and Treasure Hunters, which I think is hilarious. It's it is kind of a miniatures game because you have ghost miniatures and you have your four like kid characters. You have to like run through a haunted house and doors keep opening and closing and ghosts spawn. You have to fight the ghosts, grab the treasure, take the treasure outside, go back in the haunted house. You're trying to get all the treasure before, I think, there's like enough hauntings that like the mansion becomes just in another realm, I guess. I don't know. They didn't really say what happens. whisked off to the underworld.
You're just done.
Yeah. That's a pretty fun game. There's some good board games.
Yeah, I mean, board games have been in, like, this crazy, like, golden era that just does not seem to end, you know, like, more and more stuff comes out. Even, like, the super dry, like, hex map games that I like, that stuff is, like, more and more games are coming out with better and better production values.
Ooh.
It's kind of crazy.
These chips are off the hook.
Yeah, you know? Well, it's funny, because, like, a lot of those games only, I don't know how many you have to sell to, like, be able to pay for your, you know, a lot of those, I can't imagine, sell more than like 500 copies, but, you know, like GMT and stuff like that keep like putting out stuff. So obviously it's like, it's going pretty well.
Yeah. There's a huge fan base for the Hex games.
Yeah. It's one of those that I always sort of suspected that every time one of those guys like dies, somebody else like discovers it and gets into it. So there's like
a stash. That's it.
Yeah. So, you know, there's like 5,000 of those guys worldwide, but it's always 5,000. Like, you can't have less than that. So, yeah, maybe we do need a board game episode at some point to talk about random stuff and can showcase like weird shit on my show. I do have a copy of Siege of the Citadel. Yeah, it's the old like Mutant Chronicles. I guess they did a redo of it a couple years ago. This is the original one. It's like a super poorly balanced but really fun like dungeon crawler.
Oh, nice.
Where you're like shooting zombie demon dudes and stuff.
Dungeon crawling zombie demon shooter.
Heck yeah.
Well, before we wrap up, did you have anything you wanted to promote or discuss?
No, I'm sort of in a weird holding pattern. Just trying to get stuff finished, trying to work and stuff. So there will be, I was hoping to have enough for to talk about like fantasy squad hammer, but that is not going to be just yet, so hopefully next time.
Oh, nice.
The
next time is, where's my mouse? There it is.
Next time is going to be on Euro time.
Yeah, that's right. Monday the 23rd seems reasonable.
Yeah, should be pretty good.
Yeah, all right, perfect. So. Well, I'm sweaty, so let's say goodbye.
Sweaty and sticky. We could all relate to that. So leave your comments in, and it won't do it anymore. But no, it's the thought that counts. Right here in the heart. All right.
Okay, everyone.
Peace out, guys.
Take care. Bye. Bye.
This episode of Bad Internet Friends was streamed live on YouTube and Twitch. There is a North American-friendly live stream every second Wednesday of the month and a European-friendly live stream every fourth Monday of the month.